Well, I'm just elated that we have so many here tonight. This is an exciting time for me. I love the Women's Bible Study. I love the fellowship that we have with each other, the encouragement that this brings to each other. And then, you know, I think another unique thing about our Bible study is that I look around the room, I see ladies from all different age groups, seasons of life, and that we're able to come together and to be an encouragement and a blessing to one another. Oftentimes in churches where we see women's groups, that they are they segregate themselves. Older women have their own group and younger women have their group. But I think that's just a special thing about Kelties, is that we can love each other and be there for one another and mentor each other and just hold each other up. And, you know, we're all at different places in our life, different seasons of life, different, we have different hobbies and things that we enjoy separately, but yet what draws us together is our love for the Lord. And so this is what brings us here. And so I appreciate that so much, and each one of you being here. So I hope that you'll continue through this study and that you'll glean from it as much as I have. So let's go ahead and get started. We'll look at chapter 1. Each time we meet, we'll discuss two chapters. And so today we're going to discuss chapters 1 and 2. And then when we meet in October, we'll discuss chapters 3 and 4. And if you see in your book that you have daily little study, it's kind of laid out for you as a little study guide to help you as you study through these chapters. And so chapter 1, if you had the opportunity to describe God to someone who either lacked accurate knowledge of who God is, or you had the opportunity to share with a person God about God, and maybe they know nothing about God, what would you say to that person? How would you describe who God is to that person? I have placed a piece of paper on your table. If you'll take one of those pieces of paper, and in three sentences or less, I want you to describe God and how you would explain to someone else in three sentences or less who God is. Okay, when you're finished, you don't have to pass it around. You don't have to show anybody. But what I'd like for you to do is just fold it up and place it in your Bible. And as we study through the names of God and we become more knowledgeable about God and His attributes and His nature and His character, you know, maybe what you've written might change. And so we'll pull it back out as we come closer to the end of our study. So just leave it in your Bible for now. You know, for about 9 years, I served on staff as the director of children's ministry. And during the time that I served in this position, I taught, along with Amanda and several others, Miss Ann, we taught a class called Kids EE, Kids Evangelism Explosion. And Kids Evangelism Explosion is a 13-week course that teaches children about the good news of the gospel. And one of the weeks, one of the lessons that we had in Kids EE was that we wanted to see and be able to discern what the kids understood about God. And so we would ask them a series of questions and, you know, get their feedback so we could know better what they really knew and what they didn't know. And what we would learn from most of the children is that their understanding of God was based on what they thought God might look like, His physical characteristics. You see, they would tell us that, you know, He's big, He wears white clothes. He has long hair. He has a beard. You know, these are the things that they would tell us that they thought that God was like. You see, rather than who God is in regard to his character and his nature and his attributes. And so we quickly were able to discern that they lacked knowledge of who God was. And so this helped us as we began to work with them and began to teach them about God and about the gospel. J.L. Packard, in his book, Knowing God, says that knowing about God is crucial. And I agree with that. And I think you probably would agree with that too. He gave an analogy in his book of taking a tribesman from the Amazon jungle, this tribesman to London, dropping him off in Trafalgar Square, and just leaving him there. Think about that for a minute. He doesn't know English. He knows nothing about the culture. And he has no way to defend himself. We would think this would be cruel. But he goes on to say that for us to live in this world without knowing God, we're being cruel to ourselves. We're living in a world that was created by God and is controlled by God. And so we need or should know the Creator and the One who orchestrates everything in the world. And so for those people who don't have an accurate understanding of who God is, the world can be a very unpleasant, disappointing, painful, and strange place to be. You see, that's why I believe that so many people today are fearful. They're miserable. They're depressed. They're lonely because they don't know the Creator of the universe. They don't have a relationship with Him, number one, or they lack knowledge of God and who He is and who He is to them. Thacker also says, to disregard the study of God is to sentence yourself to stumble and blunder through life blindfolded, as if it were that you had no sense of direction or no understanding of what surrounds you. I believe that the study of God is worthwhile. I believe it's worthwhile to all of us. And so as we go through this study, I hope that you will gain knowledge of God. And as your knowledge increases, then your faith will increase and your ability to trust in God will also increase. So our study is, Lord, I want to know you. It's a study of the names of God, which is also going to teach us about his character and his attributes and his nature. You know, in biblical times, names were very important because names represented the person's character and their identity. For instance, Eve, her name means to breathe, to live. Think about that. God breathed the breath of life into Eve. As he breathed that breath of life into her, she came alive and she lived. And that's what her name means. Also notice in Scripture that names were changed as God changed their identity. For example, Abram. Abram's name meant leader of the clan or high father. But Abraham means the father of many nations. God changed Abraham's name as a sign of the promise that he gave him, that he was going to make him the father of many nations. God changed Abram's identity, and he changed his name along with his identity. Same thing with Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. Jacob's name means to be a supplanter. Now, we know that Jacob was a manipulator. He was a trickster. But God changed his name to Israel, which means the power of God. Now, God wanted to make it clear that He had given Israel power, and it was not of Jacob's own doing. The power that he had came from God, and God changed his identity, and he changed his name. I think about Naomi. Naomi attempted to change her own name. Her name, Naomi, means beautiful, but she wanted to change her name to Mara because she thought that that better suited her circumstances, and Mara meant bitterness. But you see, Ruth indulged her in this for a while, but God blessed Naomi, and he continued to bless Naomi, and her name remained Naomi. And so I encourage you to go through Scripture and to search out where names were changed and identities were changed. Saul was changed to Paul, Simon to Peter, Hadassah to Esther, Sarai to Sarah. God changed their name as he changed their identity. So how many of you have ever seen, and I don't see them around too much anymore, but these little cards that they used to have on these racks, you would see them in these stores, and they would have the name, person's name, and down underneath it, it would give a description of that person's name. Y'all know what I'm talking about, yeah. Tara had one of those, and she, for a long time, when she was like, I don't know, she was about 10 or 12, she had one of those, and I remember she had it up in her room, and Tara meant a strong tower. I think that fits pretty good. She's a pretty strong gal, isn't she? Yeah. So, but anyway, you know, I looked and looked and looked for one with my name on it, and I have yet to find it. But I did do some research on my name. Did you know that my name is the 26,233rd most popular name ever recorded in the U.S.? Between 1872 and 2017, the Social Security Office recorded 210 babies born with the name Versey. Yes, that's true. And the most usage of the name was in 1921, and there were 15 babies born that year with the name Versey. So I don't know what the name means, but there's some facts about the name. So maybe if y'all can figure out what Versey means, y'all can help me with that. So, but maybe some of you know what your name means, or maybe know what your children's name means. So maybe someone wanted to just share, just tell us what your name means. Okay. Say that again while everybody can hear you. Yeah.
Ann is Grace.
Grace. Ann means grace. Someone else.
So I named my son Matthew after he was born. His name means gift from God. We didn't know his sex, and we decided his name after he was born.
All right. Gift of God. Matthew means gift of God. And she, you heard what she said. They didn't know what he was going to be, a girl or boy. So he truly was a gift of God, and they had no idea, girl or boy. He was a gift. All right, anyone else?
Mine is from the laurel wreath, and it means victory, and the victory is through Jesus Christ.
Wow, I love that. I love that. Anyone else know? I want to share their name. I think it's sort of neat to know the meaning of your name. I wish that maybe, you know, I don't know, you know, where my name came from, but, you know, but I don't know where Mom and Dad came up with that name. But anyway, I wish I did have a name that I knew what it meant. So anyway, but what we find in Scripture, in the Old Testament especially, is that writers used many different names to describe God, as well as Christ in the Old Testament. And these different names represented God's character, his nature, and his attributes. So we'll be studying the names of God for the purpose of examining in detail what the Bible shows us about who God is. Solomon says in Proverbs chapter 18, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it and are saved." Isaiah says in chapter 50, "Trust in the name of the Lord and rely on your God." You see, when we face trials and troubles and circumstances and situations in our life, where do we run to for help? When we face a crisis, what is our first instinct? Do we run to others? Do we run to other things? Or do we run to God? You know, so I'm convinced that so much of the confusion and pain and indecisiveness and wrong decisions come from not knowing God. It's because we do not know who our Father really is. You know, when we know God and who He really is, there's power and there's strength. And in His name, there is the ability to stand firm no matter what the circumstances. If you look in your Bible or in your book, I think on page 4, Psalm chapter 20, I want us to read this together. The 20th Psalm. It says, verse 1, "May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of God, of the God of Jacob, set you securely on high. May He send you help from the sanctuary and support you from Zion. May He remember all your meal offerings and find your burnt offerings acceptable. May He grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your counsel." Verse 5, "We will sing for joy over your victory, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves His anointed. He will answer him from His holy heaven with the saving strength of His right hand. Some boast in chariots and some in horses, but we will boast in the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stood upright. Save, O Lord, may the King answer us in the day we call." You know, in verse 7, David says, "Some boast in chariots and some in horses." What does that mean, to boast in chariots and horses? You see, in biblical times, chariots and horses were a source of safety and of strength against the enemy. In other words, they were looking for strength and they were looking for protection in the things that they could see and the things that they could touch and the things that they could control. How often do we do that ourselves? We're trying to control everything ourselves. And so oftentimes we find ourselves in situations that we can't control. And as a result, the scripture says they bowed down and fallen. Then the psalmist says, "But we boast in the name of the Lord our God, and as a result, we have risen and stood upright." There's blessings. He is saying, we've put our trust and our confidence in God alone. And that is where our strength lies. Why is it that so many Christians today, when faced with adversity, troubles, and trials, they collapse and they're immobilized by fear? Why is that? Because they fail to trust in an all-sufficient God. David is trying to teach you, and he's trying to teach me, that we should allow God to rule in every single detail of our life, every single day. We can't confidently serve a God we don't know. How can you be obedient to a God if you don't even really know what he expects? The better understanding that we have of God, then the better able we're going to be to trust him in our times of need. I want you to take just a few minutes at your table. And ladies, I know we've all been at this place. I want you to share a time when you trusted in chariots and horses. You trusted in the things you could control, that you can see and touch, and explain the outcome. And then maybe someone can share a time when they trusted in the name of the Lord and share that outcome as well. So just have a little share time at your table. A time you trusted in chariots and horses, and a time that you trusted in the name of the Lord. It looks like you're having some really good discussion time. And I'm glad, because I believe this time that you share with one another is an encouragement to each other, that you realize that we all face the same problems. And so maybe I could have a couple of people who would share from a few different tables, maybe some things that you shared, maybe a time when you trusted in chariots and horses, and then a time when you put your trust in the name of the Lord. So who would be someone that would want to share? Now, y'all are doing an awful lot of talking, so I know. I'll come back over.
So a time I trusted in chariots and horses, or whatever they're called, was when I pretty much thought my life was together. I mean, I was had a house. I was living with my boyfriend at the time. I mean, we had kids and cars, and everything seemed to be perfect in my eyes. I wasn't living a godly life. I wasn't going to church. And I mean, now that the Lord brought me out of that, I mean, it's amazing to see how I've changed and how he brought me here to be closer to him, even though at the time, again, it wasn't my plan to come here. But it's been amazing to see what God's plan was for me now and looking back and seeing what he saved me from.
Fine.
Just from his dad and the lifestyle that I would have been stuck in.
Yeah. Thank you, Rebecca. Someone else. Mom, when did you?
Growing up, my mother saw that I went to church. It was kind of a works church more. My mother saw that I went. And when I was a teenager, I was probably the only teenager in church. And I thought, well, I am better than everybody else. I go to church better than all these my friends. And that I taught a little Sunday school class. Well, I thought I was doing good. But God worked in my life. And I met a man from the South. Mm-hmm. came down here to a church where I learned the true meaning of God. And that it was trusted in the Lord that was what was I needed to do. And so back then I trusted in myself, but now I have my full trust in Jesus Christ.
Someone else. I have one more person want to share. Oh, Katina.
Sorry. I don't think I need to suck Craig, but a lot of you know our story, and if you don't, I'll tell you another time. But, you know, we thought for years we'd have kids, and he brought them in a way that we didn't think he would. But I'm thankful he did, and even when he took them away and then brought them back. I mean, I don't understand it, but I know he's good, and I can't. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Yeah.
Anyone else? Thank you, Dana. God works in mysterious ways. And the ways that we can look back, and I see how that God has orchestrated things in my life when at the time I didn't understand. But now I can look back and I could see God's hand from the very beginning. And so he wants us to trust in him. And trust in his plan. His plans are to prosper us, not to harm us, but give us hope and give us a future. And so he wants us to trust in him, even when we don't understand and we don't see it clearly. He has a plan for our life. So I hope that your time that you had to share with one another was a blessing. It always blesses my heart when I hear truth from other women, and it's an encouragement to me as I see their struggles and to know that we're all here together, and that what brings us here is our love for the Lord and our desire to encourage one another and to be a reflection of Christ to others in our relationships with others. And so thank you for taking that time to share with one another and get to know one another and to share how God has worked in your life. And so we're going to move into chapter 2. Chapter 2 is entitled The Creator. One of the most common names of God is the name Elohim. Now, Pastor Mark mentioned this on Sunday in his sermon. The fact that we find the word, the name Elohim, in the first verse, in the first chapter of the book of Genesis, in the beginning, God, or translated into Hebrew, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. El means mighty. Ohim is a plural ending for God. So in chapter 1, verse 1, it could be translated, in the beginning, God's created the heavens and the earth. Now, this Hebrew word, Elohim, doesn't mean that there was more than one God who was involved in creation. Because in Deuteronomy chapter 4, it's chapter 6, verse 4, the scripture says, the Lord, Jehovah, is our Elohim. The Lord, Jehovah, is one. What we're actually seeing in this passage is the very first reference to the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Three in character and united as one. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, the scripture says, the Spirit of God was moving over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. God the Father spoke, and the Spirit moved. And there was light. So you see, all three persons of the Godhead were involved and took part in the creation. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, it says, then God, Elohim, said, let us make man in our image. Who is the us referring to? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I find it incredibly fascinating that God would introduce us to the triune in the very first verse. He's telling us from the beginning who he really is. That's fascinating to me. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, it says, God saw that all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Again, the word is Elohim. Elohim, a mighty God, saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. God is your creator. God is my creator. In Psalm 139, he says, he formed me in my mother's womb, and I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Do you see yourself as being fearfully and wonderfully made? God created each one of us. He formed us. He knitted us in our mother's womb just the way he wanted us to be. But you know, sometimes I think we look around at each other and we think that maybe God slighted us in some way. To be honest, you know, I was born with a genetic hearing loss, and the older I get, the more hearing I lose. Well, you know, I thought in my life, you know, my grandmother had this hearing loss, and my father has it, and then, you know, I have three siblings. And not a one of them have it. And, you know, I'm like, why me? Why am I the one that's deaf? You know, why not you? You know, I mean, really? You know, I thought that in my life. You know, why me? You see, even Moses questioned the Lord. You know, when God instructed him to lead the children out of Egyptian bondage, his response to the Lord was, Lord, you know I can't speak plain. I mean, you know, I've got this speech impediment, and I can't. You know, there's no way I can lead all these people out of Egypt to the promised land. I can't even talk plain. What did the Lord, or how did the Lord respond to Moses? He said to him, "Who made your mouth? Was it not I? I made you just the way I wanted you to be. I know all about your speech impediment." That's the way I created you, and it is very good, very good. You see, I think that we're all unique creations of God, and we're created in such a manner to display God's glory. You see, what I've learned from my hearing loss is that it can be very humbling. It can be very humbling. You see, if without this, I would tend to be much more prideful than I already am. God knew exactly what he was doing when he gave this to me. He knows each one of us, and he creates us in such a way that he will receive the glory. You know, I asked yourself, why would God create people that are different from the normal pattern of creation? Why would God create children with Down syndrome? Why would God create mentally challenged individuals? Why would God create someone who is blind or deaf or crippled? Has God messed up? That's the way we tend to want to think about it, don't we? You know, there has to have been some mistake. Something terrible has gone wrong. But Scripture tells us that God created everything. Elohim created everything, and everything he created was good. Just the way he intended it to be. Even the disciples asked Christ about the blind man. Remember that? They asked him, he said, ask Jesus, who sinned? Was it this man or his parents that he would be born blind? What did Jesus say to him? It was neither. He was born blind so that the work of God might be displayed in him. We may not understand all the situations. We may not ever understand how something or some situation could possibly bring glory to God. But what we can do is trust in the name of the Lord. You know, whatever the situation is in our life, God promises us that He will cause all things to work together for the good of those who love Him. And work it together for our good and for His glory. I want you to turn in your Bibles to James chapter 1. In verse 2 of James chapter 1, it says, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." What exactly is James saying in this passage? Is he saying that all the circumstances and the situations that we face, that, you know, we should just be jumping for joy over it? No. But what he is saying is that we can have joy whatever the circumstance. We can have peace no matter the circumstance, because we know the outcome of the situation. The outcome is a perfect result. What is the perfect result? In these situations, trials, adversities that we face in life, God uses these to refine us. He uses them to mature us. He uses them to grow us. He uses them to sanctify us. And in our sanctification, He is glorified. You see, we need to look at our circumstances in that light. That God, there is nothing that happens in our light, in our life, that God doesn't orchestrate for a reason and a purpose in our life. And the reason and the purpose is to bring glory to Him by bringing about our sanctification. Why were we born? Why are we created? Why were we knit in our mother's womb? To bring glory to God. What does that mean? What does that actually mean, to bring glory to God? It means to live our life in such a way that others have a correct opinion and view of who God really is. When others look at our life, are they getting a correct view of who God is by the way that we respond to situations and circumstances in our life? So the question is not why were we created, but why are we living? You see, Scripture says that we were crafted in such a way that we have the ability to reflect the image of God. Now, how do we reflect the image of God? What does that look like? We reflect the image of God by demonstrating kindness, gentleness towards others, loving unconditionally, being patient and long-suffering, having peace and joy in our life in spite of our circumstances, and exhibiting self-control. That sounds like the fruit of the Spirit, doesn't it? When we demonstrate in our life those attributes, that is reflecting the image of God, because that's who God is. If we miss this, then we have not really lived. We've only existed. We image what we desire the most. Do you desire to reflect the image of God? Or does that matter? Are you fulfilling the purpose of your creation? The purpose of your creation is to bear fruit and reflect the image of God in the world that we live in. It's impossible to do that without a relationship with God, without having entered into that salvation relationship with Jesus Christ. It's impossible to please God without knowledge of God's Word. If you have no desire to learn more about God and His Word, you're never going to reflect His image in a way that would bring Him glory. How can you please a God that you don't really know? Our joy in life comes from trusting and obeying God's Word, not ourselves. That's where our joy and our peace comes from. We live in a world where people are so self-absorbed. And we also live in a world where there's no joy. There's hatred, there's fear, there's anger. That's what goes on all around us. Because they don't know God. As most of you already know, I was recently diagnosed with cancer. On August the 26th, when the doctors confirmed that I had a very aggressive form of cancer that was likely to have spread throughout my body, to be honest with you, that was not what I expected nor wanted to hear. And although it took me by surprise, I know that it did not take God by surprise. He knew in eternity past that on August the 26th, the doctors would make this confirmation. I don't know what the future holds. Maybe I'll be healed. Maybe I won't. But I remember, Sandy Nunn said something to me on Sunday. She said, "Versy, either way, it's good. It's good either way." My joy and my peace are not connected with my circumstances. And the truth is that none of us should allow our circumstances to control our joy and our peace. That is given to us by God when we're obedient to Him and when we trust in His provision for us in our life. He's my Creator. He's in control. He is a sovereign God over everything. Our joy and our peace are a result of a relationship with our mighty Creator, Elohim. That's Elohim. Some of you in this room are currently experiencing trials in your life. You know, there are financial struggles. I'm sure there are some of you in this room that are struggling financially. I'm sure that there are some of you in this room that are struggling with marital relationships. There are some of you that are in this room are lonely. There's some of you that maybe you've lost your job or you have a sick child. Maybe you're grieving the loss of a loved one. All sorts of things in this room with women dealing with different problems and struggles and adversities in your life. How are you reflecting the image of the mighty Creator in your circumstances? That's what we have to consider. That's what we must, how we must think. How am I reflecting to the world that doesn't know God, that I know God, and that I'm trusting in Him in spite of my circumstances? You see, when they see someone who has joy and peace, and they're experiencing all these difficulties, the world doesn't understand that. When we're able to display that to the world, then we are reflecting mighty God, our mighty Creator, Elohim. Life for so many people are bitter, they're angry, they're depressed, because life hasn't turned out the way that they expected it to. When we put our trust in God and we reflect the image of God, that's where we experience that peace that surpasses all understanding. And God wants us all to experience that peace that the world, you can't explain it. But you know that you have that peace. And so maybe some of you would have something that you would want to share in this light. My prayer again is that through the study of the names of God, that our knowledge of God will increase. But not just our knowledge of God, our faith and our trust in God will increase. Because if you've not experienced adversity in your life, if you've not experienced trouble in your life, you live long enough, you will. You will. And so how are you going to face it when it comes? With joy and peace, or with anger and bitterness? Maybe someone would like to share something.
I shared this with my table when we were talking about chariots and horses, but I couldn't think of a chariot at the moment, but I could think of the Lord. And most of you know that about a year ago I lost my husband, and we had just moved here. And so everything was new, and the hospital in Houston gave Kenneth a week to 10 days, and God blessed us with 5 months. And during that 5 months, God walked with us and guided us and blessed us so sweetly in the end of my husband's life. And we had been married 25 years. But God has continued to be with me through this year, and I see Him at every corner, at every step I take, and I don't look at my sadness and my sorrow as, I know God has orchestrated this, and I don't look at it in anger. I'm sad, but I'm not upset with God about anything, because I know that this was all in the plan. And so I just feel very blessed that I had 25 years with Him, and it was the sweetest marriage I could possibly imagine, because I had been married before, and so I knew a bad one. And this, God blessed me with a sweet one, and
also Kenneth introduced me to the Lord. And so I've only been walking with Jesus for 26 years. So I just want to reflect him in everything I do. And I don't, but I want to. And so even in this hard time, he's been there with me and he continues to be there with me.
Thank you, Miss Gill. Someone else. Thank you, Miss Gill, for sharing that. Anyone else have something you want to share?
Some of you know my story, but when I grew up and my dad was an alcoholic, and he was very abusive, and I hated him, and I always wanted him dead. I remember that when I was growing up, and he was abusive to my mom, and he was abusive to us, and I didn't know the Lord, so... When I came here to the States, I was from Mexico, and I ran away from home, and I hated my dad and my mom and everybody that I knew. But I met the Lord here, and everything changed. And then I loved my dad. It wasn't me. It was the Lord who gave me that for him. And so... I'm sharing this because right now, you know, my dad lives in the States now, and I have this love for him that I would have never had before if it wasn't for the Lord. And he's going through a lot of things right now. I'm hurting for him, and so I've been praying to God that he will show me what to do and how to help him, and... He told me today that he wishes he would die. And that's just happening right now. So if you guys could just pray, because I have been praying to God that he could help me to help him in his way. So, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, in forgiveness... That comes from the Lord. Why do we, maybe many have experienced some horrific things in their life, but God enables us to forgive. Why? Because he forgave. And that's his will, that we forgive, and he enables us to do what he calls us to do. And thank you, Jenny, for that testimony of forgiveness. Anyone else? I thank you again for being here tonight. And, okay, Miss Amanda.
Well, I talked to Tara about maybe doing a little special prayer time with Versi tonight. And she said, well, I don't know. I don't know if she wants to put it out there yet. But you put it out there. So. Since you put it out there, I wanted us to just maybe end, if that's okay.
That's okay.
Just gather around Versi, and just, if you want to pray for her, just come up, lay hands on her. Now, Versi is strong in the Lord. She does not want a pity party. She is trusting the Lord, and we're praying for her healing and God's perfect will for her life. So, Miss Ann, if you'll start, and then I'll close, and anybody that wants to join in, y'all come up and lay hands on her. Come on. Get around her. She needs our love and our support right now.
Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne of grace this evening, Father, thanking you for being with us, for giving us your word, and for teaching us, Father, that we can depend upon your name. And Father, as I look at Versi, she is one of my heroes. She has always been, ever since we've been at this church. She is a woman that is dedicated, a woman that is strong, and a woman that is totally in love with the Lord. Thank you, Father, for giving Versi to us to be able to share in the ministries that she has shared with us. And Father, I just pray that your will be done. I thank you, Lord, for the testimony that she has for the Lord. I know that Versi... although what she's going through is very traumatic. But, Father, she knows that you are the creator of heaven and earth. She knows, Father, that you are the one who has designed her and made her and given her the abilities to trust in you. And, Father, as Joshua said, be strong and be courageous in all things. And, Father, that's where Mercy stands tonight. She stands on your word. And, Father, whatever the future holds for her, I know that, Paul said, and to live is Christ and to die is gain. And, Father, I just pray that you would be with her, be with her mother, her father, her husband, her daughter, and her grandchildren, Father, at this particular moment, as they are standing by her and being with her. Father, I just praise your holy name.
Dear Lord, we love you and we thank you for your blessings. Father, tonight I come to you praying for Mercy, thanking you for her and for her Christian testimony of you. And Father, thank you for her sharing with us tonight in so many different ways about you and about who you are. And God, we just thank you that you never change and your words never change. And you have said you will be with us. And you are with us, whether we feel it or not. And whether we live for you or not, you still love us, you still forgive us, you still give us another opportunity. And Father, when crisis times comes, I just feel like you're especially close to us. And I thank you for that. And I pray that you would bless Mercy and her family in your special ways during this time. And Lord, I thank you that she has encouraged her testimony has encouraged me tonight, and I just know that as she goes through this, she's going to meet many, many people, some who know you, some who don't, some who are needing encouragement. And Father, I know that she will share you with those that she meets, and what a witness she will be for you. And even though this is not the way that we would choose, your ways are just and perfect, and we just don't. Just pray that you would give the peace and the strength and the healing that you think is necessary. And Father, if it be your will, that you would spare her to continue to encourage others and to share you with those round about. And Father, we pray for her family. We know sometimes it's harder on the family than it is on the person involved. We just pray special blessings there. And forgive me of my sins. In your name I pray.
Heavenly Father, Lord, I just want to come to you and say thank you for Mercy and for the way that she mentors and teaches us. And Lord, I can already feel that your peace and your strength that is Mercy is reflecting, Lord. And I just think that's a perfect testimony to me and to all of us, Father, how she is reflecting your glory, Lord. And we just want to say that we love you and that we're trusting in you, Father, and we know that you are able to heal Mercy. And that's our prayer, Lord, but we want to just trust in you. And Father, I just pray that you'll continue to give her peace and strength, Lord, so that she can be strength for Bo and for Tara and for her family, Lord. And I just pray this in Christ's name.
Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you that you are the great Jehovah Rapha. Lord, you heal. The Bible says you are Jehovah Rapha, that you heal. And so, God, I stand upon that. But also, as mentioned, we trust. God, the Bible also says you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. The Bible also says do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to you, and you will guard our hearts and our minds with your sovereignty, with your almighty power. Father, I think that you are, we lift our eyes to the hills, and where does our help come from? It comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. God, there is nothing that has gone before you without you noticing.
All right.
God, all I can do is speak your word back to you. But we trust in you, God, with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. And there's nothing on this earth that we could trust but you. In Jesus' name, I pray.
Amen. Amen.
Precious Father, we thank you for Mercy, Lord. We know that she is a vessel for your glory. She, just like she spoke today, Lord, she is glorifying you with the peace that she has, with the joy that she has, that she was even able to stand here today and speak your truth with joy and conviction, God. And Lord, I pray a mighty blessing on her, Father God. I pray in Jesus' name that you would touch her from the top of her head to the soles of her feet, that any cancer would go in Jesus' name according to your will, if it be your will, God. We pray, Lord, that you would touch her. And we thank you that you already have, God, that you have already given her the courage to walk through this battle, that she knows she's not alone, that you're with her, that you're carrying her right now through this. And Father, I pray that she'd feel you in a very special way, Lord, that you would walk very closely to her, Father God, that you would speak peace over her, that you would speak joy to her, Lord, that you would send people to minister to her when she starts to feel in this world, we feel, God, and I pray that when she does have emotions that bring her down, Lord, I pray that you'd send her a life raft. I pray that you'd send her a text or send her a phone call or let us all be the hands and feet of Jesus to walk this family through this trial. We ask that in your precious name.
Lord, we know that you are sovereign God over all creation and that you created Mercy. You knitted her together perfectly in her mother's womb. That you had a purpose and a plan for her life from even before she was born, Lord. That you had her steps laid out for her, and we thank you that she has followed obediently in those steps. I thank you that she knows that she knows you created her for a purpose. I thank you that she knows that you are sovereign, that you're in control of all things, and that you are still ruling and reigning on your throne, even when we don't understand, Lord. I pray that you continue to help her to trust you, even when it gets hard, that she would trust in you with all of her heart, that she would lean not on your understanding, but in all of her ways acknowledge you, and that you would direct her path.
Yes,
I thank you that your word says you will never leave her and never forsake her. I pray for all the doctors and all the nurses and all the hospital staff that will be caring for her. I pray that you would give them great wisdom, Lord, to know the best plan of treatment. I pray that you would guide their hands, and I pray that you would guide their hearts, and I pray that you would guide their paths, and that any who come in the path with Mercy, that they would hear the gospel, that they would see the gospel lived out before them just in watching how she walks through this trial, how she has the perfect peace that passes all understanding, and the peace of Christ that rules in her heart that the world does not understand. But I pray that it will be a way that she can witness about you to others and glorify you, Father. And so we just want to we want to praise your name. We want to just lift you up and exalt you tonight, that we can have joy, that we can have peace that the world does not understand. But we do, at the same time, Lord, we do beg for your mercy.
Yes, God.
And we do beg for your healing.
Yes, Lord,
if that is your will, we beg for that tonight. And we pray that you would touch Mercy and that you would heal her in a way that even the doctors don't understand and can't explain.
Amen.
And we come boldly before your throne tonight because we come in the name of Jesus. It's his name we pray.
Amen. Let's just sing. God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. I will seek you in the morning, and I will learn to walk in your ways. And step by step, you'll lead me, and I will follow you all you from the bottom of my heart.